Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So if it takes the political and the monetary will to do this for the United States, do you see it happening in this fractious time?
Well, I hope so. You know, I mean, what I try to address in the book is the reasons why going back to the moon is important for a long-term economic gain and political gain and cultural, and also if you're a deep space believer, going beyond the moon to Mars. And so you have all those elements that were pretty much alive and well in the early Apollo program, but we disconnected from that dream back in the last flight of Apollo 17, December of 1972. And here we are in July going to celebrate the 50th anniversary of Apollo 11, the first landing.
Now, we're not even back on the moon yet, but we're talking about Mars. I don't want to get too far away from the moon.
Yeah.
But in your book, and you talk about the history of it and how it, you know, the run from ancient myth and the green cheese idea and the early movies with the rocket hitting the man on the moon in the eye and looking ahead to moon villages. What difference does it make if we're on the moon? You talked about some of the factors, but why should we even care?
Well, you know, again, I think it's one of those Rorschach tests. There are young people. I mean, you could make a good case for stimulating STEM education through an active new space program. And, you know, we all benefit by a lot of the technology that was spun off from the Apollo program and also achieving this goal that Kennedy set of doing it within a decade. So I think there's economic reasons to go back to the moon. One big difference this go-round is the public-private partnerships that NASA's setting up. To achieve going to the moon within a five-year time frame, they're going to be relying on groups like SpaceX, Elon Musk Group, and also people like Jeff Bezos and the Amazon billionaire. So we'll see how it all evolves, but my view and what I try to get across in the book that if the United States doesn't go, other countries are going to go, and they're already lining up to go. So it's going to be a different type of space race, entrepreneurial space race, perhaps a governmental space race. But I do think we're almost at a point where we could see a Sputnik effect. I'm old enough to remember when Sputnik was launched.
Right.
It was a big political coup for the then Soviet Union to put an artificial satellite. Today, you know, dozens and dozens of satellites, you know, have been launched almost to like a daily thing. So getting to the moon is still, a big event. But more countries are going to be able to do that.
And yet, I mean, I'm old enough also. I remember Sputnik and how the United States just, we blew up emotionally. Oh, my gosh, the Soviets have beaten us. We didn't see that kind of reaction when the word came out about the Chinese putting their lander on the dark side of the moon and when the Israelis were launching their ill-fated attempt to get to the moon. And as you say, there's so many out there. Elon Musk, do we care as much as we used to?
Well, I can't answer. I can't answer for everybody. I do. That's why I wrote the book. there's something that, you know, anybody that's grew up in that time period of achievement and setting a goal and making it happen, I think that's a first-rate aspiration of humans. And so setting our sight on the moon again and this time to stay is very important. Now, in saying that, I'm starting to write, this time to stay or will we stray? Will we not have the commitment in the United States to go back to the moon and have a long-term presence there? So I hope we do, and that's what I wrote the book about.
Now, it's interesting, too. You also talk about the legal framework, and you have the Chinese, just as an example, you have the Chinese on the dark side of the moon. We may have Jeff Bezos or Elon Musk, you know, having their own little suburban setups. Here comes the United States. Here comes Russia. Who's in charge? Who owns what? How do we work that out?
Well, that's a dynamite question, and that's one that I think we're going to have a head-on collision between private sector use of the moon, governmental use, capitalism versus communism. As more countries get wrapped up in the moon, I think we're going to have lawyers. They're already there in the book. You'd always expect that. They're always there. So my guess is one worrisome thing is that the moon may be very special in certain areas, whether or not you can have water ice available at the poles of the moon. Who gets there first? Should they own it? Should they set up a fence nobody else can get in there? So I think we got some United Nations call to action at some point. We have an outer space treaty that was signed in 1967. It's probably time to revisit that and see where the lawyers take us.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.